Fine. So as we have been discussing, this year is a mild nightmare because it is Erev Pesach Shechal Yos B'Shabbat, which is the absolute worst possible configuration of Erev Pesach. Lidati, but objectively speaking, this is obviously true. It's a nightmare of halachic, you know, it's a halachic nightmare. So what we're going to do is touch on one of the sugyos that deals with the nightmare. The real nightmare is the one that Rishmol David gave Shiran, which I don't think we're going to do, which is how do you get in three meals with an Isser Chametz and an Isser Matzah on Erev Pesach. Right, it's really quite hard. It's, you know, and how do you do Shalosh Shudis and all types of things? Could you combine an Isser Matzah and Isser Chametz, a Chiyuv Shalosh Sudot, and an Isser to eat after 10 hours because of you have to eat Letzei Avot? And like, you mix all those together and you get four different paths to deal with this nightmare. It really is crazy. It's crazy. I it has not happened since I was in yeshiva, and it was bad then too. Okay, it has not happened in a decade and a half. It'll happen again in 4 years, and you can be traumatized then also. You know, like Purim, you know, Purim, it always falls with a Friday Purim, which I don't love either, it's not great, but like, you know, on that Shabbos after Purim, I was walking around, and someone was like, you definitely know this. When was the last time we had this? And I'm like, 15 years ago. When's the next time? 4 years. She was like, it's so bad. I'm leaving the country next time. I'm like, I don't have the heart to tell her that doesn't help. Yeah. Nothing will save you. There is literally nothing that can save you from a Friday Purim. The only thing is you can become a Yerushalmi, and then you only have to read the Megillah on Friday. But you don't have to worry about Suda and Mishloach Manot. Right? You can do that on Sundays. But you can't move out of the country. Yerushalayim is the only place that will help. Tveria if you want. Right? Whatever. Okay, but Erev Pesach Shelev B'Shabbat is even harder. So the Mishnah we're going to focus on is this very short little unit that says, how do you get rid of chametz? Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, Arba'asar Shechaliot B'Shabbat, if the 14th falls on Shabbat, as it does this year. So what do you do with your chametz? So Mivarin Et HaKol Milifnei HaShabbat. You get rid of the chametz, all of it, on Friday, on the 13th, right? But according to Rov Poskim, as we'll see, you can still eat chametz after you've gotten rid of it, right? Well, we'll see that, right? In just a second, right? One so divrei Rabbi Meir, but chachamim amrim bismano, the chachamim say you get rid of it on Shabbat. Rabbi Lazar Berry Tzadok Omer, Truma Milafnei Shabbat, V'chulin Bizmanan. Truma you get rid of on Friday, and non-Truma you get rid of on Shabbat. Those are the three positions in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara tells you that Tanya Rabbi Lazar Berry Tzadok Omer, Pamachat Shabbat Abba, B'Yavneh, V'chalabah, Sar Liyot, B'Shabbat. This once happened to my father when he was in Yavneh. Uva Zunin. Mimuna Shir Rabbi Gamliel and Zunin, right? The appointed one of Rabbi Gamliel came, V'amar Higiyah Eit Levayer La Chametz, and he said it's time to get rid of Chametz, V'halachti Achar Abba U'vi'arnu La Chametz. So I went with my father and we got rid of the Chametz. It's a wonderful little story, right? It's like, I guess it must be that everyone has it blazed into their minds because it happens so rarely, what you did. And I remember, like, I remember 2 times ago, or maybe 3 times ago, that we had this, like, burning the chametz, and then going with my father and sister to Carvel to have ice cream on a cone, because you could have chametz, we just didn't want it in our house. So you burn the chametz, and then you go and, you know, I have this, like, very distinct memory. It's like, because everyone else is doing it with pizza, but it's like, really, you want to deal with going to the pizza place and everyone else is there on a Friday morning for breakfast. Ice cream for breakfast, yes, love them, right? Once in a while. But pizza, when everyone else is there, you know. What? Yes, but overcrowded Jewish pizza places on Friday morning Erev Pesach are irredeemable. Like, that's not, you know. it's almost as bad as the first pizza, Motzei Pesach, where like, I have no interest. There's all these people that like, they have a minhag kabua in their family, the dore doros, that you must be the first person to get pizza from the store, and you wait till 2 o'clock in the morning till that pie comes out. I think it's crazy. My brother-in-law does this. He's very insistent on this. I don't understand. I hate crowds. I hate, like, I'm like, really? You miss pizza that much that you just need to face the hours and, yeah. The second year, Ara and I were married, I think we were last days by her cousins in Muncie. And we were getting a ride back to the Heights from someone. They said, we'll pick you up after we just get our pizza. It took like 4 hours. We were just sitting there like twiddling our thumbs, you know. And Ara was like 9 months pregnant. She went to the hospital the next day, you know. It was like, I'm very scarred. I don't like this whole pizza thing. Okay, so what does this mean, right? What does it mean, Mavar and alcohol? So here's what I got to figure out. There's two things I want you to understand. One is the word hakol, and the other is we need to understand mevarin. Okay? Those are the two words that I want you to understand. So, tell me, what does the word livaer mean?
Passover. To destroy.
To destroy. So here's the question, right? So, livaer can mean two things in Hebrew. One is to destroy, or get rid of, really. Eliminate. That's probably a better word that captures both. I hope it all went well, you'll tell me after.
Yeah.
Or Ray Wasserman will tell me after.
Yeah,
I know. What? Good luck. The other thing that it can mean is?
To burn.
Very good. Right, good. Like the Malacha on Shabbat, Mavir means to burn. Now, can you give me an example in the Torah where Levair does not mean to burn?
Oh.
It means to eliminate? No. Lo tivaru esh b'chol moshav deichem is a good example where it means to burn. Lo tivaru esh. Don't burn fire. Where does it mean eliminate? Uvi arta hara mikirbecha. You shall get rid of the evil in your midst. Right? No. Now, by chametz, it's an interesting question which one it means. Right? By which one does it mean? And I'll tell you where this comes up very nicely. There's a machloket we've shown him. Why do we say the bracha of al biur chametz before bidikat chametz? So half the rishonim say, some rishonim say, you're saying it because you're going to burn it the next day, and this is the beginning of the mitzvah. You're searching so that you find the stuff to burn. And others say no. The word here doesn't mean burning, it means eliminating. And searching is, in fact, one of the things you do to eliminate it, right? Yes. The Minchas Chinuch quotes the Rimi Nicholsberg, who knows that there are three times, right, that who goes through the different times in Halakha, the relevant times in Halakha, where some of the relevant times in Halakha, who says that, right, the Gemara says, for example, you're not allowed to punish people on Shabbat, right? You don't have court cases, like capital crimes. Why? So the Gemara says, we make a Gzera Shabbat from Sreifa, right? Of Lo Tivaru Eish V'chol Moshav Deichem, which means you can't do Sreifa, and just like you can't do Sreifa, so you also can't do any other capital punishment. But the Rimi Nicholsberg says, no. What the Drasha is doing is it's using the ambiguity of the word. It's saying Lo Tivaru. Neither fire nor uviarata ram kerbecha, right? This ambiguity. Rura means chazal drasha is the fact that the word livaer can mean both. And since uviarata ram kerbecha is the generic word used for all punishments, right? That's why you can't have court cases on Shabbat for crimes, right? Not a gzeres shaveh, but rather it's the other meaning of the word, right? So often in halacha there's this ambiguity. I remember one of my friends once made a list of all the times that this ambiguity is relevant in halacha. What? Three examples we could think of. Right? One was the machloket of Abir Chameitz, the machloket of what the bracha means. Does it mean burn or get rid of? The second was this machloket of how to understand the drasha of Chazal of how do we know you can't punish on Shabbat? Is it from, is it a Gzeres Shaveh just from Sreifa? Or does it come from V'yatarak Mikirbecha, the Rimi Nicholsberg? And the third was the Machloket Rishonim about Bi'ur Shvi'it. Right? Do you have to burn it or get rid of it? Right? There are certain, right? There as well. Maybe we had a fourth. I don't know. This was like not like a worked out thing. It was like, I still remember just like, I guess it must have been my first year in YU because I remember talking in the back of the old Beit Midrash in YU to Yosef Bronstein, Shlita, Rabbi Doctor, right, Rabbi Doctor, about it. And I think he had two on the list and then I gave him the Rimi Nicholsberg, right? And I knew it because Dr. Aaron Kohler had said it in a tish at YU. He's like, I like this, Rimi Nicholsberg. Okay, fine. Now, this ambiguity, though, is important here. Now, there are two very different ways, with some nuances, but we'll focus on at least two, of understanding this Mishnah. Okay? What does the Baal HaMor say? Before we get to Rashi, right? The Baal HaMor's key, what drives the Baal HaMor's position? Three letters. One word, three letters. The Pictionary here, right? Right. What is the word that charades? Right. What is the word that drives the Baal HaMor to take his interpretation of the sugya? Hakol. Hakol. Right? The Baal HaMor looks at the Mishnah and says, the key here is Hakol. The Tanakhama seems to think that you get rid of all Chameis before Shabbat. And, right, it's Rabbi Meir, right, it's the Tanakhama. The Chachamim say, when do you get rid of it? Bizmano, on Shabbat. Right? So the Baal HaMor says, all means, not surprisingly, all. Very good. So then he says, so why would there be a machloket? What is the machloket hang on? Why does Rabbi Meir say mevar and hakol? Nachamim say you don't have to be mevar and hakol. You can do it on Shabbat. Very good. He says this is merely the reiteration of the position that we find elsewhere in Pesachim in several places, which is the machloket to get rid of it. Exactly. Very good. There's a machloket throughout Pesachim, which is Ein Biur Chameit Ella Sreifa, which is the vision of who? Rabbi Yehuda, right? That Rabbi Yehuda holds throughout the Masechet Ein Biur Chameit Ella Sreifa, that the only way to destroy Chameit is burning. And the Chachamim say Biuro Bichol Davar, right? You can get rid of it however you want, and their classic example is Afilu miferer v'zorel l'ruach. What's miferer v'zorel l'ruach? Miferer. Make into crumbs. Perurim are crumbs. Even in modern Hebrew, perurim are crumbs. And what's zorel l'ruach? Right? Or if you ask Ezra, right, my two-year-old, who you now have met, right? He knows zoreh, right? We're doing the Shabbat book with him. So I say, what is zoreh? And he's winnowing, yes, but he doesn't know the word winnow. So I say, what is the rat? And he does this. Right? Well, that's what I showed him. I showed him a video of how you winnow. And I said, either you do this, you wait for the wind, or you go, right? You throw it up in the air and you blow it away. So the Chachamim say, afilu mifarer v'zorer l'ruach. Right? So the Baal HaMor says it's very simple. This machloket goes like this. There is a machloket throughout Pesachim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda holds the only way to do Biur Chametz is Sreifa. According to the Chachamim, it's get rid of it, which, as I would say, the simplest understanding of machloket is, right, again, Biur can mean get rid of, Biur can mean burn, right? It hangs on, really, that phrase here, right? So, therefore, according to Baal HaMor, explain the machloket to me. It's very simple. What's the machloket?
So, there are holes that you have to burn it, so therefore you have to get rid of everything before Shabbat, so you can't
Me'achuz, right? Very simple. Rabbi Meir holds you need to burn it. You can't burn on Shabbat. How do you know you can't burn on Shabbat, Rami? Very good, it's a pasuk, right? Not a trick question. It is a pasuk. Lo tiva'aroeish v'chol v'chosechem yom ha'Shabbat. And since he says the only way to get rid of chametz is by burning it, and you can't burn things on Shabbat, mimela, in a year like this, you have to get rid of everything before Shabbat. Right? Very simple. And what about according to the Chachamim? The Chachamim l'shitatam hold that you can get rid of chametz in any way, including things that don't include a malacha. And therefore, there's no need to get rid of everything before Shabbat. You just have to get rid of it, right? Before stoves, man, achilat, right? Stoves, man, biur, really, right? Stop eating it, stoves, man, achilat, get rid of stoves, man, biur on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbat, which means that on Erev Pesach, you take your chametz, and either you crumble up the rest of your challah and you throw it into the wind, or you take, you know, bleach, and you pour it on to make it pagum, or, as it's called in this country, economica. Economica. Bleach is economica, because it's economical. I don't know. I assume it's like from German or something.
Industry, like industrial thing.
Yeah, this is called economica.
Yeah.
Right? Take bleach, or flush it down the toilet, or mash it again. Right? In America, they might tell you can just throw it in the garbage. That's not an option here in the same way. Right, because there the garbage is now hefker and it belongs to non-Jews. Here, it belongs to the Jewish government, so it's not as easy to just throw it in the garbage. So it's a little bit less clear whether you can get away that way.
If you hate the Jewish government,
it's the one thing. Yeah, but listen, Aver is still a problem. You might want to do it, but it's not worth your soul. Right? Right? So that's how Rabbi Meir understands it. And again, I think that what drives that's the Balmor understands, and I think that the reason the Balmor says it is he's driven by one word, which is hakol. Right? He says hakol must mean everything. Why would you say why is it a machloket whether you have to get rid of everything before Shabbat or on Shabbat, whether you think there's any way of getting rid of it on Shabbat? Okay, that's the Balmor. What about Rashi? Rashi understands the sugya very differently. How does Rashi understand the sugya? Rashi qualifies the word hakol. What does he think hakol means? What? Everything that you're not going to eat. Right? Meaning, get rid of everything except what you're planning on eating before Shabbat. Right? So therefore, according to Rashi, the machloket is very different. Right? What's the machloket? According to Rabbi Meir, you get rid of everything except what you're going to eat on Shabbat, or on Friday afternoon, we'll get to that question. Before Shabbat. And whatever's left over, you get rid of on Shabbat. Which shita now is weird? The Chachamim. Right, that means Rabbi Meir thinks that you get rid of all the chametz you're not planning on eating from now until Pesach before Shabbat. And the Chachamim say you don't even have to do that. Even chametz you're not planning on eating, you have no compulsion to get rid of it before Shabbat. You can get rid of everything on Shabbat, l'chatchila, l'chatchila. Right? That's a bit of a weird position. Right? In this version, we may make a lot of sense, which is get rid of all the stuff you don't need before, and then whatever's left over, right, you eat it, and if there's something left over, still get rid of it. Right? The Chachamim say, right? You want to just wait till everything, do everything on Shabbat.
How do you not violate Shabbat that way?
You don't burn it.
You eat it,
or you flush it, or you whatever.
But what
time then,
how do they destroy it?
Mifarer, Vizor, right? Meaning, according to Rashi, Kanireh, both positions can work within the general position of Chachamim, that you don't need to burn chametz. Right? The only machlokes is you have to try to get any of your chametz gone before Shabbat, or can you lechatchila get everything away on Shabbat? Right, that's Rashi's position. Now that's weird. Do you have a lumdus for it? Meaning, the Baal Mor, there's no lumdus. I mean, there's lumdus, but it's a different lumdus, right? The Baal Mor says this is a derivative machlokes, right? Meaning, there is no real machlokes about when you get rid of chametz on
Erev Pesach Shalom Erev Shabbat. There's a machloket about how you use Bir Chametz, which happens to have an implication if, right, right, that's all.
But according to Rashi, what's the machlokes? Because both of them agree that what? You don't have to burn it. Clearly, because they're both saying that some will be left over on Shabbos. Oh, okay, so what's the machlokes? Yeah, but what's the svara? What's the machlokes? Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Right? Again, according to Rashi, everybody agrees that you don't need to burn the chametz. Kanirin. Right? Rashi says, hakol means get rid of all food that you're not going to eat before Shabbat. And anything you're going to eat, you can leave over. And the Chachamim say, you have to make no effort on Friday to deal with your chametz. L'chatchila shebel l'chatchila, on Shabbos, you can take your 25 boxes of cereal that's left over and start throwing it to the wind so that there is a chametz rain, right, on Shabbos. Right, l'chatchila, why? Ah, you know you're not going to eat all of that? So what? Right, it's not easy, by the way. Right, like, I don't like selling chametz, so most years, if I can avoid it, I don't sell chametz, I just get rid of it. But like, if you have a lot of extra food that you can't eat, that's stressful, right? Like, I get up early on Erev Pesach, and then there's this wonderful moment. I discovered this my first year in Dagon, where I was like, what am I going to do with all my chametz? Like, am I really going to have to burn, like, you know, all the things we miscalculated about, right? And then I discovered, if a lot of people don't want to sell their chametz, then some people are going to overcalculate and have extra chametz on Erev Pesach, and some are going to run out of breakfast. So starting at 8 in the morning, people start texting, I'm out of food. Who has leftover cereal or cookies or cakes that I could have? And it's just, exactly. So someone said, does anyone have cookies? I'm like, yes, I have cookies. Come. This is like before Corona. I can't imagine this year is going to be the same way. And then I was like, oh, I have to get rid of the cereal. And I walk outside to throw out like half a box of cereal. And someone is walking in the garbage. Is that a box of cereal? I need breakfast for my kids. Right? But the Chachamim say, yes, just leave all your chametz, even what you're not planning on eating, till Shabbos. Why would they say that? What are they thinking? Good, what are they thinking?
That they want the question of the Machlokes is there a miracle that the big gets pushed for bar? Chachamim still wants, they'll think Chiyuv is on that.
Why? Okay, good. So why would you say that? So Yaakov says possibility one is maybe Rabbi Meir thinks that when Erev Pesach is chal on Shabbos, so the real day for some reason transforms into 2 days before, Yud Gimel. And the Chachamim say it remains Yud Dalet. Good. Why would you say that?
Because if you have the ability to do the chuyah, then you shouldn't have to push it off.
Okay, good. So, yeah, but according to both of them, that you have the ability, because they don't hold you need to burn it. Close. I think you're almost at a very good svara. Good. Meaning, I would just tweak it, which is the way we paskin. Right? Think about how we paskin. Right? Do we paskin that you need to burn chametz?
No.
No. Do we burn our chametz?
No.
Most of us do. Why? Because the Arshito, right, in the Gemara, that even though you don't have to burn it, there's still a special kiyum of burning. Right? You don't have to. You can do it in other ways, but burning has a special status. And I can't get into all the long doses, right? It could be that burning is like a positive, whereas Mefar Bezer L'Roach is a negative, right? That burning is, I'm positively destroying chametz, and Mefar Bezer L'Roach is, I'm making sure that I don't have chametz, right? And those might have a different status, right? So I think Yaakov might be right. The one way of reading the Machlok is, look, everyone agrees that if need be, you could be Mefar Bezer L'Roach. But the question is there any halachic recognition that, like, burning and active destruction is better? If there is, you might say, look, if there's a benefit to active destruction and you can't do it on Shabbos, then even though you're right, in a normal year, if I chose not to burn, it would be okay. Since on Erev Shabbos, I don't even have the option of maximal destruction, so the time goes back to the latest possible time where I could, in theory, be engaged in maximal destruction. Right? That's Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say, no, there is no value in maximal destruction. Right? Or alternatively, or not enough value to override the value of Yadalim. Right? Good. That's one formulation. Who wants to give me another formulation of what might be the machlokas according to Rashi? I'm going to, for the moment, punt on the Truma question. I want to focus on this machlokas first. Okay, so this is a little bit related to what Yaakov said, but it comes from a totally different angle. This is a Chakir in Chaskenuch has. Okay? In Chaskenuch has the following question. Is the mitzvah of Bir Chameitz to destroy Chameitz? Is it an active mitzvah? Or is it a passive mitzvah? Meaning, make sure you don't have Chameitz. And if the only way to do that is to destroy it, you obviously have to destroy it. But there's no mitzvah to destroy. There's a mitzvah to make sure that you don't have Chameitz. It's passive, fundamentally. L'may nafkamina? Why is Minchas Chinuch ask this question? What if you don't have Chameitz Erev Pesach? You have to go out and buy Chameitz to destroy it. Right, meaning, do you have to make sure... Yeah, I understand. You have to make sure that you have chametz, right, to burn, to whatever. Right, exactly. Right? So, when Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik came by last year, I think, maybe I heard it from him when it was at YU, he wanted to explain what it's like growing up as a Brisker. And he said, Briskers don't, his family at least, doesn't believe in the Ramaz Chumrah, right, of putting out pieces of chametz, because they think the mitzvah is to search, and they don't think you need to find anything, right? They don't think you need to follow this chumrah of the Rama. Plus, his father hated the idea of putting out chametz on Erev Pesach, Elamai, but he said, when he was a kid, all my friends, Tati, whatever, right, they get to search and find the pieces. Why can't I do it? So he said his father came up with a compromise. What did he do? This is the most Brisker thing in the universe. Because he wasn't going to give in and like let his kid be happy if that man had any chametz around. But the other end, his kid was like, so what did he do?
10 pieces of matzah.
Very good. He put out 10 pieces of matzah. Right? Search whatever you want, but it doesn't matter. Very good, Rami.
I was going to wonder if it wasn't that like, he put out like water and like, flowers.
No, he put out ten pieces of mud.
Like 10 to each other. Or
yeah.
Like, he them together, and we have
18
minutes to
final. Exactly. That would be terrible. So another way I think of understanding Rashi is the following. Maybe the machlokes is whether the chiyuv to get rid of chametz in whatever way you get rid of it is active or passive. Why? Because if you say it's passive, so then... Then there's no reason to have chametz left over on Erev Pesach. The mitzvah of beer is to make sure that by the time Pesach comes, you have no chametz. Right? That's it. And therefore, practically, is it a smarter idea, a safer idea, to get rid of your chametz on Friday or on Shabbos? Friday. Avada Friday. Right? And if you think that there's no chiyuv to actively get rid of chametz, so maybe for pragmatic reasons you would say get rid of it on Friday. Right? Don't leave it till Shabbos. But if you think that there's an active chiyuv called bir chametz, that it's not enough to make sure you don't have chametz when Pesach comes, but there's a chiyuv to get rid of it, so if you got rid of it all on Friday, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Because Erev Pesach is Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you didn't get rid of it. It was already gone. Right? So it could be that, look, everyone agrees that maybe pragmatically, the smarter idea is to get rid of the chametz before Pesach. Before Shabbos. But the problem is, if you think that it's a passive mitzvah, make sure that you have no chametz by time Erev Pesach comes. So then... Big deal if you got rid of it on the 13th. So you'll have egg matzah or whatever on Shabbos. But if you think that the chiyuv is to destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach than by getting rid of it before. Right? Because what's Rabbi Meir saying? Rabbi Meir is saying, get rid of whatever you're not going to eat. Right? And then, whatever's left over, what do you do with it? You eat it. And you might not end up having any chametz left over to destroy. So if you think you don't have to actively destroy, you just have to make sure you don't have chametz, so then, no problem. Right? Okay, so I have nothing left to destroy. I got all rid of it on Thursday. I ate the rest on the 14th, which is Shabbos. Friday versus Shabbos. And I didn't destroy any. So what? But if you think the chiyuv is to destroy actively on Erev Pesach, so then you don't want people to get rid of it all on Friday, because then they'll leave just a little bit to eat on Shabbos, and then what are they going to do? Right? What's left over on Shabbos is going to be, right, they're going to eat and not destroy. Right? You could have a similar formulation. I'll give you a third similar formulation, which is, maybe everybody agrees that what? The mitzvah is to destroy chametz actively. What's the machlokas? Is eating considered destroying? Right? Right? Meaning, everyone agrees, because according to Rashi's view, both the Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim say that you're leaving over chametz till Shabbos. Right? Rabbi Meir holds you're only leaving over chametz that you eat. And the Chachamim holds you're leaving over chametz that what? You destroy in a way that's different than eating. So it could be that the machlokes is everyone holds you need to actively destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach. The only question is, does eating count? Right, the Baal HaMor famously holds that eating chametz is a kiyum of bi'ur chametz. Right, eating chametz is a kiyum of bi'ur chametz. So if you think that eating chametz is a kiyum of bi'ur, so you might say, look, I did leave over till Erev Pesach, and I did destroy it. How did I destroy it? By eating it. Right? And the Chachamim will say, no. You have to destroy actively, and eating isn't called destroying. Right? You need to destroy it in some other way, and therefore you have to dafka leave over chametz that you're not eating. Okay? So what do we have so far? We have the Baal HaMor who says the machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, is simply the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, which is, do you have to burn chametz, or can you get rid of it anyway? If you have to burn it, you do it on Friday. If you don't have to burn it, you do it on Shabbos. Rashi says, no, everybody agrees to leave over food. The food that you're going to eat. The question is, do you leave over extra food? So why would you say that? So possibility one, based on Yaakov, which is, look, it's true that you can get rid of chametz in ways other than burning, but there might still be an extra value to burning it. And the question is it worth pushing it to the time when you can do the maximal type of destruction, or rely on the minimal, right? That's exactly. That's, right? Possibly two, based on Minchas Chenoch, is, if you think it's about the mitzvah of biur is passive, right, elimination, so then it doesn't matter when you get rid of it. So practically it's safer, get rid of it on Friday. But if you think you need to actively destroy, so then you have to leave over chametz for Shabbos. It's practically better to get rid of it before Shabbos, because it's safer, it's gone. No, but if you think that you actively have to destroy, right, meaning bismano, meaning on Erev Pesach, then you can't do it on Friday, because Friday is, because mano is Shabbat, is it, right? Possibility three is, no, everyone agrees it's active destruction. The question is, does eating count? Right? According to Rameir, eating counts. You only have to leave over the chametz that you're going to eat. And according to Chafamim, you have to leave over a little bit that you're not eating, so that you just get a chance to destroy, not through eating, chametz on Erev Pesach. Okay? Those are, I think, three models that I would suggest for explaining the machlokes of man, the Chum according to Rashi. Okay. But now, let's try to get at least one more shita down today, and that is the Rambam. What's the problem with the Rambam's position that everyone is bothered by? So Rambam in Gimel says what? Right, he paskins like who? Like Rashi within Rabbi Meir. right? But what's the problem? Right? But the Rambam very much understands that you're allowed to destroy something in any way possible. Right? So you could explain Rashi, the Rambam, the way I did for Rashi. Right? Except there's a problem. Because according to me, right, I was assuming within the Chachamim, but according to Rambam, he paskins like Rabbi Meir. But what, there's a problem. Why would he paskin like Rabbi Meir? Right? But he doesn't paskin that way, because in Yudalef he paskins that you can do Bir Chameh through Mifar Bezer Leruah. So what's the problem? The Rambam holds that you're not allowed to leave any Chameh. Sounds like the Rambam saying, what does it sound like according to the Rambam? You're not allowed to leave any chametz over that you're not going to eat. Right? Even though he holds that you can do beer through Mifar Bezer Leruah. Right? So how do you explain Rambam? So some of the models that we've just seen could be the way to explain the Rambam. Right? Meaning, the same way we explained Rashi. Right? Meaning, it's possible that the Rambam holds that what?
I mean, it's
exactly. Right?
Yeah.
That he paskins that the Chacham holds it's active, Rabbi Meir holds it's passive, right? And therefore he practically suggests that what should you do? Even though you're right, you can theoretically crumble up your chametz. Practically, it's a bad idea to have extra chametz left over to Shabbat. And he thinks there's no reason to do that because it's a passive mitzvah, not active, right? Exactly as we understood one of the possibilities within Rashi based on the Mincha Chinuch, right? But there were some achronim who befarshim of the Rambam who wanted to go farther. And they wanted to say that the Rambam seems to, right, they wanted to make the following diuk in the Rambam. Not just that it's like a better practical idea, but that it would actually be usher to leave over the chametz to Shabbos, because, and this is going to be possibility four now in understanding. I don't know if Rashi says it, but several of the verses in the Rambam say the following, read the Rambam the following way, okay? They think that, one, the Rambam holds that during a normal year, you're allowed to crumble up chametz as beer. But on Shabbos, you can't. Why not? Does that make any sense? Why not, Andrew? Why not? Right, some of the Achronim want to be medayik the following the Rambam. Then on the one hand, he paskins that you were allowed to destroy chametz through Mefar Bezer Leruah. But on the other hand, he thinks you must get rid of, right, we've read the Rambam, you don't have to get rid of, you don't have to leave over chametz till Shabbos. But the Rambam might be going farther and saying you must get rid of all of it before Shabbos. So you could just say it's practical, right, that he doesn't want you to have chametz. And since he paskins it's a passive mitzvah, so you should do it before. But some Mefarshim and the Rambam wanted to go farther and say it's not just that it's practical, it's better to have no chametz, and since beer chametz is passive, you might as well get rid of it before Shabbos. They want to say no. On the one hand, he paskins like the Chachamim that on a regular year you're allowed to crumble up your chametz and throw it to the winds, and nevertheless the Rambam thinks it is usher to leave over chametz from in going into Shabbos, you must get rid of everything you're not going to eat before Shabbos. Why would anyone say that? Right? That's more radical than everything we said, right? Up till now, we've... Okay, so you could have a practical one, is maybe they'll forget and they'll burn or something like that, right? So you could definitely go in that direction. Several Mepharshim, though, take the following Kiddush, Rabbi Manoah and Mishnah Lamelech in different versions, say as follows. The Rashba holds that crumbling bread on Shabbat is mutter. Crumbling bread on Shabbat is mutter. And it's not a violation of the malacha of tochein. Right, what's tochein?
Grinding.
But several mafarshim suggest, now why does the Rashi say that? Because he says tochein is only with an organic entity. Right, like something that's naturally grown like that, but not bread. Right, or something like that. But, right, or different versions, right? Either it has to be something that grows, right? It has to be God-made, not man-made, or it has to be something that you'd be creating something new by grinding it or something. But some of the Mefarshim say maybe the Rambam disagrees. Maybe the Rambam says that making bread crumbs is tochein. And if it's tochein, then even though the Rambam doesn't hold that you need to burn chametz, he still doesn't think there's any plausible way besides for eating to get rid of chametz on Shabbos. And therefore, he posthumes like Rabbi Meir, mitzad hilchos Shabbos, not mitzad hilchos Pesach. Meaning, mitzad hilchos Pesach, he thinks you could leave it over till Shabbos. But what? He doesn't, besides for eating, he doesn't think there's anything you could do on Shabbos to get rid of the chametz. Or there are very few things you could do on Shabbos that would allow you to get rid of the chametz, and therefore, practically, you have to get rid of whatever you're not going to eat before Shabbos. Okay? But now Ezra will say, that doesn't make sense. Why doesn't that make sense?
This is all like under the belief that it's like an active obligation to destroy it.
Right, this would all be under, right, active, yeah. Meaning the first possibility, he just thinks it's passive, and he practically thinks it's better to get rid of it before, just like we said within Rashi. But now, with this diuk of the Acharon, that maybe the Rambam thinks it's actually usher to leave it over for Shabbat, right? So possibly, he could look. Maybe he thinks that really you should actively get rid of it, or whatever, or, you know, you could plug it in however, but he thinks practically, there's nothing you could do to destroy it on Shabbat that wouldn't be a violation of Malacha. And therefore you have to get rid of it before Shabbat, besides for what you eat. And then you can decide whether eating is passive or active and figure out how you want to do that. It could go either way. Right? What's the problem with this? What's the problem? Right, this seems like a weird shot, even though some Mefarshim say it. What's the problem with it? Meaning that's true of crumbling it, but where there's nothing else you can do, like pouring on bleach or something, like, is there nothing you could do that would not be a violation of a malacha? So I would say that there's another possibility as follows. Rashi seems to say this in certain places. Rashi seems to say that in any time that destroying something is halachically significant, it's a malacha. Right? So Rashi in one place implies that in a case when you have to destroy something, even feeding it to your animal might be usur. Right? Why? Because if there's a chi of destruction, that qualifies it as a significant act. Right? Well, fire for sure. But it could be that according to the Rambam, no, really, there is no way that you could destroy chametz on Shabbat without violating some isser. Why? Not because of tochein or this, that, but rather, since destroying chametz on Erev Pesach is halachically significant, therefore, no matter what you do to destroy it, even if it is not otherwise a malacha, since in this case it's a halachically significant destructive act, that itself might make it usher on Shabbos. Right? Meaning, the chiyuv biur will make whatever you do halachically significant and therefore make it usher. Is that clear? No. Right? So, one more time. It could be that according to the Rambam, it's a little bit of a hybrid position. Meaning, on Shabbat, you can't do any act which is, like, creative. And certain things,
maybe in general are not creative or significant, but contextually, they become significant, and therefore can't be done on Shabbat. What would make them contextually significant in that way? The fact that that no matter what you do to the chametz, it's a kiyum in beer chametz. And if that's the case, right, just like we said according to Remy Nicholsberg, right, Andrew, right, we said according to Remy Nicholsberg, no matter what punishment you give someone on Shabbat, even if it's not otherwise a malacha, because the Torah qualifies it as beer, will be arta haram mikirbecha, it's called bo tevaru eish b'chol moshe b'teichem. Right? So, but maybe the Rambam will hold the same thing, that since biur chametz is called biur, right, no matter what you do to it, because it's contextually defined as a kiyum, as an active destruction, you won't be able to do that on Shabbat, no matter whether or not it would have been a malacha on a regular day. Meaning you could have been mechadesh, but according to the Rambam, on a regular Shabbat, you could crumble up bread, but on Shabbat, on Erev Pesach, you can't. Because on Shabbat, Erev Pesach, since crumbling isn't just crumbling, it becomes contextually defined as destruction, right? That is significant, and that can't be done. Right? So maybe that, if you wanted to argue the Rambam is really different than Rashi, and he thinks it's usher to get rid of chametz on Erev Shabbat, maybe that's how you would want to deal with the Rambam. And I will note there's a practical problem with the Rambam. There's a Rivet already notes, is that the Rambam paskens like Rimer against the Chachamim, which is Yachid against Rabim, right? Which is a problem, right? We don't normally follow minority positions. Right, that's the question. Why would you? So the Beis Yosef actually has a chiddush, and the Beis Yosef says it's not true. The Rambam's really passing like that chachamim, and Rabbi Meir holds it's usher to leave before up to Shabbat. The chachamim just says, and he just says you don't have to, right? And therefore, when he says, you know, it's not the Rambam, right? You're misreading the Rambam. The Beis Yosef says we misread the Rambam. It's not that it's usher to leave chametz up to Shabbat. It's just that you don't have to, but you can. And really, he's fastening like the Chachamim. In the end of the day, Shulchan Aruch paskens like Rabbi Meir is understood by Rashi, or the Rambam as understood by him, which is you're allowed to leave over the food that you need to eat, and whatever's left over, you pour bleach on or something. Okay? So let's just summarize what we saw. So, Rabbi Meir and the Chum, according to Balamor says, Rabbi Meir really holds you have to get rid of everything that Chum holds, you don't. Why does he hold that? Because he holds the machlokes, do you need to burn it or not? If you need to burn it, it needs to be done on Friday. If you don't need to burn it, it can be done on Shabbat. Rashi and the Rambam both don't understand it this way, because they seem to think that according to Rabbi Meir and the Chacham, you're allowed to leave over at least the chametz you're going to eat. Right? So how do you understand the machloket? So we had several possibilities. Possibility one is, Rabbi Meir says the mitzvah of your chametz is passive. Make sure you don't have chametz. And therefore, you don't need to leave over chametz till Shabbos. You can if you want to. Chacham says it's active, and therefore you must leave over till Shabbat. Possibility two, everyone agrees it's active. The question is eating considered an act of birchametz? If it is, then you only need to leave over the food that you're going to eat, and then the eating will be the kiyum of the mitzvah. If you think that you need to do something else, so then, not that way. Possibility three, Yaakov's possibility, which is, even though everyone agrees that post facto you don't have to burn chametz, maybe Rabbi Meir thinks there's a lechatchila to burn chametz, and therefore you push biur chametz back to the time when you can destroy it in the ideal way. And the Chachamim say, no, there's no ideal to burn it all. Then within the Rambam, some of the Acharonim want to be medayik, it's more than that, right? It's that even though he holds you could crumble up the chametz, you're not allowed to leave over till Shabbat. Why not? So possibility one is because he thinks that what are you going to do? You're going to end up crumbling. So either it's just the passive-active machloket again, right? Possibility two is that what?
The Rambam holds, yes, you're allowed to crumble it, but he thinks that crumbling up is the malacha of tochen. And therefore, the Rambam thinks there's nothing you can do on Shabbos that would sufficiently destroy chametz. And therefore, you have to do it on Friday. The problem with that is, really, you can't find any way of destroying it. And therefore, I would suggest maybe a different conceptual model, which is, you can't do anything on Shabbat, which what? Is halachically recognized as a significant act of destruction. And since on Erev Pesach, Shalom, and Shabbat, anything I do to the Chametz is contextually defined as significant, so there really is nothing that you can do on Shabbat that would be, right, that would be mutter in destroying Chametz, and therefore you have no choice that besides that which you eat, you have to destroy it on Friday. Right? Now, within the Rambam, we said there's a little problem because he seems to possibly like Rabbi Meir, which is a miut against a rov, or a yachad against a rov. Hence, the Ravid rejects him. The Beis Yosef is mechadish, and maybe the Rambam really possibly like the Chachamim, and he just thinks that according to Rabbi Meir, you must get rid of it on Friday, and according to the Chachamim, you don't have to. Right? You can do it either, and he's just saying you don't have to leave over to Shabbos, but he admits that you can, like the Chachamim. Right? And therefore he's understanding the Chachamim not as you can leave over, sorry, not as you have to leave over, but you can leave over if you want to. Right? And that's how la-halacha, the standard stock is that you leave over whatever food besides that which you need, right? Either for pragmatic or fundamental reasons, and then you get rid of whatever's left over in some way on Shabbat. Right? That is the standard stock as found in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, I'll leave it to you. I wasn't going to spend too much time on this. If you want, we can deal with a few minor questions tomorrow that come up on this, which is what time on Erev Shabbos do you have to get rid of chametz? Do you have to get rid of it by the end of Friday or by the time that you would normally get rid of chametz on a normal Erev Pesach? And when do you do bittul chametz? Or I can spend 3 minutes and give you the summary of that, and we can do something different tomorrow. Mashallah. My other thing was I was going to do more of like a little bit of halacha, a little bit of like idea on the Seder thing, which was the basis of what I wrote for this, the Haggadah, the companion, which is a little bit of parshanut and tanach, a little bit of halachic machlokas, just to give some ideas for Seder. Okay, fine. So let me give you the 3-minute summary then of this, and then so we wrap it up. Fine. So it's a machlokas. The logical svara would have been, when you get rid of the chametz on Friday, what time do you have to get rid of it by? What? End of the day. Right? Because it's not Erev Pesach. Right? That would have been the logical svara. However, the Mordechai quotes Rashi as saying that there's a gzeira, that you're supposed to do bir chametz by the normal time, by the fifth hour. Why? Gzeira that in another year you won't forget and think, oh, last year I did chametz, you know, bir chametz 15 minutes before Pesach, right? Correct. Yes, that you should do, no, that you should do bir chametz, like you should burn the chametz in the morning and then go to Carvel, right? I mean, whatever. I would not really suggest it. Like, Carvel was, there was 1 year I had to sign out, so we liked it, but like, objectively speaking, like, Haagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's are all like better ice creams than Carvel. What? Like, depends on the flavor, right? Like, Ben & Jerry's is the funnest flavors and it's good ice cream, but like Haagen-Dazs, the quality is better, so like, if you get the right flavor, it's like, meaning like, Ben & Jerry's, I love the fun flavors, but like, plain vanilla Ben & Jerry's is good, but Haagen-Dazs is like, yeah. Though I discovered I really like Turkey Hill. It's really good quality. Turkey Hill. What? Turkey Hill is really good. I went to the Turkey Hill ice cream factory, totally suggested. It's really fun. It's like 10 minutes out of Hershey, so if you go to Hershey, right? Like Hershey Park. In Hershey, yes, Hershey the city, but if you go outside of Hershey, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster, so like off like a road, and the whole thing or most of it is under the OU, like the actual exhibit. So So like, but it's like a whole museum of everything they make, and the tastings, like they give you as much as you want, and they have like a ice cream making workshop where they show you how to use different flavors and how much you need to make, like they give you a pint of regular unflavored ice cream.
How far away from your area?
About two and a half hours, I don't know.
Oh, you're not doing like,
it's really nice. Lancaster is really fun. But also, I mean, I liked it. Like, it was fun for the kids. I liked it because I also liked that the history was fascinating because the founders of Turkey Hill were, like, very from Christians.
Oh, Christians.
And no. Like, very, very from Christians. And a lot of the history there is about how, like, they believed in taking care of their workers and therefore they didn't make any profit during the Depression. They didn't take any salaries. They wouldn't have to fire any of their workers, even though they weren't turning any profit. And, like, there's a whole, like, it's like a really, like, there's a lot of very, it's, like, fascinating. They, like, were really, 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 like, from Christians who believed in, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating. What? Are you probably, look, no. Lancaster and Hershey are, like, very big vacation places. Like, it's great for, and I, like, for kids, it's great. Like, it's really wonderful. Like, the whole area, because they have all these, you know, it's, like, very wholesome fun for kids. You know, a lot of it's, like, run by locals, some Amish and some whatever. But, like, you know, like, they have, like, this massive farm there, which has, like, a several mile long, like, what's it called? Like, a corn husk maze. Yeah. Yeah, like, it's a lot of fun. Anyways, they have, like, the biggest, like, there's like a museum with the biggest model train in the world, which is like, it's fascinating. Like, yeah, it's like a guy, this is just his hobby, but it's like insanely intricate. Like, he built the whole city. It's like, but it's massive. It's like the size of Yeshiva. Like, there's like an intricate, he built every little model by himself. It was like, there's a lot of, it's very wholesome fun for, I mean, I have little kids. It was great, but I enjoyed myself a lot. Anyways, so, but yes, you can go and get ice cream. That was how we got onto this. You can get ice cream after Bir Chametz. Now, based on this, the Rugged Shopper has a totally different way of understanding Rumeir and the Chachamim. This is possibility 5 or 6, whatever we're up to. And the Rugged Shopper says it goes like this. Chachamim and Rumeir both think you have to get rid of Chametz on Friday. What are they arguing about? The Chachamim hold that the way the Rambam reads it is everyone agrees you have to get rid of it on Friday. The Chachamim hold you have to get rid of it Bismano, not Bismano on Shabbos. Bismano on Friday. Is that it's, the Chachamim are actually more machmir. Right? The Rugged Shopper, maybe what the Rambam thinks is that the Chachamim hold Bismano, meaning Friday morning, and Rabbi Meir holds Friday Shalom Bismano, which is the total opposite of the way we totally understand. So that's how the Rugged Shopper understands the sugya. Right, then there's a little bit of, you know, discussion of, you know, what exactly, what hours you do it. Okay. In general, the consensus is we try to burn it by the normal time, even though we let you eat chametz afterwards, which is the most awkward experience in the world, but that's what you do. What? On Friday, correct. And Bismano, everyone else understood Bismano meant Shabbos. He said, no, Bismano means Friday. The only question is Friday morning or Friday afternoon, right? And Rumeir is less machmir. And therefore, the Rambam's like, how's going to come in the more machmir position? Okay. Last halachic point, what about bittul chametz? Right? What about bittul chametz? When do you do bittul? So the Maharil says, well, you do bittul on Shabbos. Because why would you do it on Friday? You left food over to eat on Shabbos. There's no reason to do bittul. However, there are some people who still say that you should say some sort of Yihi Ratzon or whatever, right? Some sort of bittul on Friday. Now, why would you, right? But many people argue that you not only do you not have to do that, but you actively shouldn't do that. Why not? So one is because, again, it's pointless. You're eating chametz later. The second reason is that it would set you up for bed, right? Meaning you want to distinguish Friday from a regular Erev Pesach, because otherwise you'll think that in future years you're allowed to eat chametz post-bittul, which you're not. Right? So it's actually better to not do it. And really, really problematic. And therefore, in general, I think most people would say you don't do bittul. Right? And it's sort of pointless and maybe even counterproductive to do bittul on Erev Pesach Shel HaShabbos when you are still going to be eating chametz afterwards. Okay? Fine. So that is with regards to being